last episode all over analyzing Blake Griffin trades till I get nauseam. So I'm sure that people are just super bummed over that.
What's up, folks? Welcome to another edition. It's Hitting the High Notes Jazz Talk, proudly sponsored by Qualtronics or whatever it is. It is I, Hootran, Hootran Superman, on the Twitterverse. And we're here. I'm here with two candidates. The first candidate, he's going to grow up to be a creepy old white racist. Probably going to have a couple of sexual harassment suits on him. What's up, Mr. Jared Barker? Go to this is 49.
Wow, that's freaking awful.
Yeah, I know. Introduction. I know. And then I'll bring in our second co-host. He is probably going to grow up to be probably an old white racist with a couple sexual harassment suits against him. What's up, Mr. Logan Cox?
I was so thrown off. I thought I was getting introduced first. I wasn't ready for it.
Yeah, you see, the joke there is that you guys are the same.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's true. Wow. Like I said, I happened to be at work today where Trump happened to appear, and it was it was everything I expected to see. I didn't see him, but I saw the people peddling their wares on the side of the road, and needless to say, you guys don't need to worry about buying any new clothing items for the next 3 to 4 years. I've got you covered.
Okay, all right. Well, you know what? Let me restart the introductions. First off, we have Mike Lee's favorite podcast host. It's Jared Barker. And we have the captain himself, Mr. Logan Cox. What captain is that? I don't know. We'll see.
Morgan or the other. I don't know. Something with an
X. Exactly.
To Neil's ex-husband.
Yeah. Yeah, he may have had a little bit of the Morgan, that's for sure, when he was rattling off. That was something special.
It's October 28th. You know, it's only been less than a month since the finals. This is a really slow time. There's nothing exciting going on. There's no NBA news.
That's crazy. Nothing at all, man.
We technically took a week off from the pod, even though we recorded a pod last week. Unfortunately, I'm not a very good podcast host, so I don't know how to fix things when they go wrong. So we talked about an hour over fake trades that, you know, a week later feels like they don't really mean much anymore because the Utah Jazz, which is an odd, I don't know about you guys, very odd news to me this morning before I went to work and saw it. The Utah Jazz have been sold, which a couple years ago I was told couldn't happen. But the Utah Jazz being sold to, what's his name, Ryan Smith?
Yes.
Yeah, what like Qualtronics? Is
another old white guy? Oh no! but you know, he's only 40. He's not much older than us.
I was like, oh, anyway. is it Qualtronics? Do you guys know how to like pronounce his company's name?
Yeah, it was Qualcomm.
Qualcomm, yes.
Qualcomm
cell phones. I don't know. Like, Jared, what was your instant reaction this morning when you saw that the Millers were selling to Ryan Smith?
I was just surprised. I was like, oh, okay, that's interesting. Our good friend of the pod, Tanner Martin, had a tweet about the Millers are, well, specifically Gail, only putting Jazz in a trust because she didn't want Greg to sell it like before the body was cold. Yeah, I was like, that sounds pretty accurate.
Yeah. Logan Cox, come Harry. Is there any hot takes you got about Ryan Smith here?
No, I mean, the only thing that's really upsetting to me is that I think there was some truth. A good friend that I guess we share acquaintance, partial enemy, Fat Chris. had kind of called out some of this years ago because, like, you know, I haven't lived in the Valley for a long time, so I don't have all the access to some of the stuff that goes on behind the scenes. But he had mentioned something years ago about the children not really wanting a part of that and the concern that might be. And this was probably, you know, 7-8 years ago he mentioned this. It doesn't seem surprising. I know, like you said, Tanner says some funny stuff, but I think he pretty well hit it right squarely on the head, which is also painful to say because I don't know him personally, but he feels like he's got a strong Fat Chris vibe based upon Twitter interactions. But I mean, what's our guy? I don't know. He's a fellow jazz tweeter we follow. His name just comes up as Josh. I don't know.
Josh, yeah.
JSJ Jazz Fan 78. It should be better if it's JSJJ Jazz Fan 69. But he went with 78.
That's the number that who wants to change everybody's handles to.
Yeah, but I mean,
69's abound.
This guy kind of called it. I guess there was a tweet circulating where they quote, I think Mark found it and quote tweeted him, where he pretty much called this out a long time ago about how the trust could be dissolved and that Gail need to sell it. He actually called out this guy. What's the guy's new name? Ryan Smith. That's a pretty generic name.
creator wrestler name. Yeah.
Yeah. He called him out specifically as who should own the team. And I'm not going to lie. I had no idea.
I guess they just did an IPO. So he has a shit ton of money now because he was the owner of that company. And apparently they're doing a second IPO soon. So who knows how much stock he owns.
Sure he's got a fair share of money. Another term I didn't realize existed either was the Silicon Slopes. So that's a thing, I guess.
Oh, you were unaware of that? That's been a thing for a little while now.
You gotta remember, Logan hasn't lived in Utah in like over a decade, so...
And that's my other blazing hot take for this, which the listeners will not be happy to hear me say. But to me, it doesn't matter if the Jazz move, because I moved and I grew up not having the Jazz around, had them in the middle of my life, and I probably won't ever have them directly in my life again. So, you know, I guess that's my hairy
unless
take.
The Jazz move to Boise.
Yeah, well, then that's great. You know, so I did see that circulating, which I think is an interesting take or an interesting point, you know, to kind of, I guess, to where the conversation goes, because the conversation is splintered into like 1,000 different directions, right? There's the Jazz moving, the changing of the name, the fact that now that Ryan Smith is the czar, GM, master of all things salary caps, and is going to, you know, make the moves starting tomorrow.
Right.
It just splintered so many ways, and it was just, I don't know, the moving of the Jazz, because that was what Gail did was trying to prevent to some degree. That's an interesting backstory too, how she arrived at this, because the trust was just announced when?
A couple years ago, it feels like.
Yeah, just like 2 years ago or so. Yeah.
Well, it was a couple years ago? I thought it was this year.
Oh, I think it was a couple years ago. But then again, 2020 has been forever. So.
Well, the pandemic it's lasted like 10 years by itself. So.
So you're saying July? sorry, who? I didn't mean to steal your thunder. I will sit quietly in the corner and wait for your next question.
No, I just am. Looks like 2017. The Jazz were put into a trust.
Okay.
It's almost three years ago. That's crazy.
I honestly didn't know about it until this year. But then again, I wasn't really active on the Twitter, so I guess that's where my information comes from.
Yeah. So, it's one of the things that, like, I'm not a smart enough man to be like, oh, I don't know a lot about Ryan Smith. I don't know a lot about, really what the Millers have been doing with the Jazz for the last couple years. Jared, 24 hours ago, like, how do you feel about this Jazz team as you did before, you know, 24 hours ago? Like, how do you feel about the Jazz team now than you did the future of this Jazz team?
Well, I mean, I don't know how much has really changed. I mean, I feel like there's this general sentiment, this guy will spend, he's got $8 billion, and he only spent $1.6 acquiring the Jazz. And I'm just like, well, I mean, it's not unlimited money. I mean, we're not like playing Monopoly where you can just like, I don't know, where you decide that you're the parent and you're running the bank and then you're going to steal from the bank so that you never lose. I don't know... that much has changed. I mean, yes, I think he might be more willing to go into the luxury tax, but I also don't think that he's the kind of businessman that just, you know, spends money all the time everywhere.
Yeah. So
I don't think he built a business by just spending money all the time.
So, yeah. So I have a friend on Facebook. He posted, you know, the article, and he posted, the Millers sold the Jazz. Anyone else think they're getting ready to build a championship team? This owner might just spend some money. So I wanted to really focus on the term spend some money, right? because we've seen that circulate on Jazz's Twitter today, and Dan Clayton, a guy that I very write from Salt City Hoops, and a guy that I ask for Jazz advice more than I should probably, wrote an article today about this very thing. So, right. So the Jazz, and Logan has said this before too, like the Jazz have kind of been known as a cheap team, I guess, or a team that doesn't like really play with the luxury tax. But also, like, I think a lot of people don't understand what this luxury tax is. It's different than football because football has a hard cap. It's different than baseball, which for the longest time was just like, you know, spend as much money as you want. And sometimes, like, you're the Yankees and you get to just spend and spend and spend, right? Basketball's different.
Baseball still is that way, though.
Yeah, but I mean
the Dodgers are basically a successful version of the Yankees this year. They spent like $300 million. And
they've got some like pseudo rule they tried to put in, but it's not nearly harsh enough, or even more. Yeah, it's not even hard. It's not harsh enough, and it's not nearly restrictive.
But in the NBA, that doesn't happen very often. But then you see like the Lakers and like the Warriors for a while that were like sitting in the luxury tax, and you just think, oh, the reason that they won so many games or won so many championships is because they were able to be in the luxury tax. That's why they did better than the Jazz or these other teams. And I think there's some confusion about it. Maybe you guys tell me if I'm wrong or not, but I think the luxury tax is really, it's for those teams that are like, you know, the favorites every year, the Warriors of old, the Lakers, and because the luxury tax is put there to be able to keep a lot of your own players or pay players that you have, and like the Jazz this year, they could go into the luxury tax probably if they wanted to keep Jordan Clarkson. The luxury tax is not something for
and spend their full exception or whatever.
Right. But the luxury tax is not really, it's not for 25 teams to use. The luxury tax is for two, maybe three teams to use.
Maybe five or six at the most, I think.
And it's for like the Thunder, who have Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook, and then they want to build their team and pay the guys that they have. The luxury tax doesn't mean like the Jazz can go out there and just go spend $20 million on some guy. The Jazz still have to play in the rules of the salary cap, which we talked about. It was like the Jazz are over the salary cap. Even if they trade away Mike Conley, they won't be below they'll be below the salary cap, but not by enough to go get a third big piece, you know?
They can't get a third $30 million guy.
The Jazz can use their exceptions this year. The Jazz can build a team. What the luxury tax is there for is to sign Jordan Clarkson. Like the Jazz say, okay, cool. We've used our exceptions. We've got these players on the team. We're right at that tax threshold. Now let's spend the money to get Jordan Clarkson on the team and go over this other tax line and be in the luxury tax. And now that's the move. We'll see if the Jazz make it this year or not, because there's some rumors today that the luxury tax is going to be a little bit lower than some people have been saying it might be, but we don't know yet.
Yeah, the numbers were like 139 last year, and
no, 139. It was supposed to be 139, or people thought it might be 139 this year, and it might stay at 132.
Oh yeah, 132. Sorry, I was thinking of like the apron number, which was
right. And so, like that's the thing is that like Logan and I have talked about like how this is a good talk to have because not everybody understands how the money works. And the Jazz could go into luxury tax this year. They can go into luxury tax almost every year, but why would you?
Because we did it before, and then Greg Miller got pissed. He's like, we'll never do that again. I'm never spending money again. I'm like, well, we don't have to worry about that anymore.
Yeah, we don't have to worry about that anymore. But okay, if you're going to worry about it, if you want to worry about it as a fan, you should worry about it in this sense that if the Jazz are the luxury tax this year, it probably means that next year they're not going to want to be in the luxury because with the repeater tax.
Yeah, the repeater tax sucks.
As Dan Clayton wrote in his article today, is that just because you're in the luxury tax, it hinders what moves you can make in the future. Like the reason the Warriors were in the luxury tax for so long is because they kept winning the championship. If you can get to the finals, if you can have transcendent players like Steph Curry on your team, and you can bring the title home, you know, almost every other year, that will pay for itself. But for teams like the Jazz, who we've talked about for a few months now, who don't look like they're going to be the favorites going into next year, the luxury tax doesn't make that much sense. Like, it makes sense for maybe a year. It makes sense if, like, the Jazz think Jordan Clarkson is that piece with the, you know, whatever else, like, in the offseason that gets them over the hump. Now, I don't know, Logan, what do you think about getting a new owner and being able to be in this luxury tax range, I guess?
Well, I mean, I think both things are true. I think that there's a ton of folks out there who don't understand how the process works. I think that you guys have done a great job. And you're right, Dan does a great job of laying it out very clearly as to how it works, because it doesn't just mean you have this unlimited amount of money. It only helps you do certain things. But a lot of these guys are also the ones who are probably super pumped about this guy buying the team because he looks just like 70% of who they see every Sunday. But at the same time, though, there's some pretty decently educated Jazz fans that I would put us. I mean, you guys educate me by the podcast, but that also think it can go the other way. And there was, like you said, Dan did tweet out some of the same stuff, and there was a reply by Aaron Hefner who said something to the effect that essentially said, you know, not using it all the time, but at least if we're close, there's hope that there's a willingness to use it if we need it. And like you just said, Jared, it sounds like, you know, once we did it once, the previous ownership was never going to do it again. And so I think both trains of thought are correct. I think that people are misinformed on how it works, and people love to spend other people's money, which is super fun to do. But at the same time, I also think that those of us who think it out all the way and understand it a little better also think that, okay, it doesn't mean it's going to change everything, but hopefully it's just a hope. And we've got nothing. We've got zero track record to think that this guy is going to spend money. We have no clue. Zero clue whatsoever. I mean, like you said, Jared, it's the main point. You don't become a billionaire by 40 by making unintelligent business moves. But I think it's just the optimism and assumption that, oh, hey, he'll do these things. And one thing I think is interesting, and I've been thinking about this a lot today, was, you know, Larry was around, I don't know, man, I'm 35. So I remember Larry's legacy. And I remember the tail end of Larry's career or as the owner. Right. And so I do remember him being fiery competitive, though. And so it seems like the Jazz have gotten this rap that they're not that competitive and they're happy being middle of the road. But when I think back to Larry, and I could be wrong, I don't really see that. I've seen that more of the Jazz toward the end of his life, unfortunately, and as the ownership has transitioned. But that was back before we were having luxury taxes and things of that nature, right? We still weren't big spenders, but I don't. So, I mean, I guess there's just hope in change, perhaps, or something different, but we just don't have any point of reference.
I think the best part of this deal is that we know that Greg Miller is not ever a threat to come back and be in charge again.
And that's the biggest win of it all, I believe. Yeah, for sure. Well, yeah. And
because those are some dark times. Those Greg Miller years were some dark times.
Yeah. And I didn't realize all that. So, again, I was educated on it, some of it today, and Fat Chris again put it in my ear years ago. I said, oh, he's an idiot, so I'm not listening to him. But he's been right on pretty much everything, which is disappointing.
Greg Miller was a fat jerk.
Greg Miller was an undercover boss, okay?
That's true. Oh, yeah. I did watch that episode. Fat Chris is not fat anymore. He's a soy boy now, which is super weird and disappointing.
He'll never listen to this. It doesn't matter.
Soy Chris.
He might. He might. He might, actually. Sometimes he just reappears. He emerges from the murky swamps and drops his 2 cents.
Soybean fields.
Hitting the High Notes is an Unwrapped sports partner podcast. Check out the new live streaming show, Unwrap This, on Twitter, and follow Unwrap Sports at Unwrap Sports on Twitter and IG. All right, so yeah, Logan, you bring up, like, I was actually going to transition to the point, like, of like what ownership matters to a franchise, right? Because, like, so yeah, you and I and Jerry, we're all the same age, grew up in the Larry legacy years. And, Larry was very hands-on, right? Like, I think there are times when, like, I feel like ownership wanted, Larry wanted a draft pick, but probably the GM or like Kevin O'Connor wanted a different draft pick, and like Larry won out sometimes, and but then after he passed, right? Gail and Greg, and they didn't seem as hands-on as Larry Miller. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. But
Greg was super cheap. That's all I remember is that he was always like, cut costs, cut costs.
Yeah.
And Larry was a little bit less of that.
I just don't remember him I remember like Larry having certain guys that he wanted to draft, but like I don't remember like Greg being like, oh yeah,
I don't think part Greg of the draft process in the draft or the
scouting
process. Yeah,
and,
I don't think he's part of that at all.
And
Greg didn't stomp in the locker room and yell at Olden Polonies like there was known to I think Larry went in and we got after Ostertag a time or two, and that's what I'm saying is to tell you that 12-year-old me or 15-year-old me remembers how frugal Larry Miller was. I don't know, but he just seemed like you said more hands on and more competitive.
Right.
Now, what that meant in today's NBA as it evolved. Oh
yeah,
I don't know.
And he would and but he would go talk to the players. He'd go in the locker room. Yeah,
And I think there's something to be said for self-made and born into money, and I think that's maybe a difference, and maybe that's a whole other discussion.
Yeah, that could be a whole.
But Larry's a self-made man, and it seems like
Larry
Ryan,
was the entrepreneur,
a self-made man to some degree too, right? So,
and so and we've heard this like they talked about it today everywhere that like when Gail kind of took over, they eventually that's why they had Dennis Lindsay, right? Like. Once like the new ownership, like Dennis Lindsay became GM and KOC went to a advisory role, and even when Greg Miller was CEO and Steven Starks got moved up, that really it was like Gail Miller was like, okay, these are the people that we hire, let them do their job, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know. Like I mean, there are a lot of people who are already taking victory laps, but now it sounds like Ryan Smith. Is a guy that's going to be, it feels like, already in the first, 12 hours.
The spirit of Larry Miller is back in the form of Ryan Smith.
The comparisons I keep hearing is Mark Cuban.
Yeah, that is the comp that I've heard over and over again.
They're like youngish, like billionaires that took over teams, right? So,
Pro. He's pro the more progressive movement and stuff like that. And he's had some tweets to that effect. And everybody's just like, "That's my owner. My owner. I profess my love."
That steel company. When they said that they were going to get rid of their suites for the next season, and Ryan Smith tweeted out like, "Hell, we'll take it." So.
He's like, and I'm sure with all the Utah company, and he's like, yeah, we'll pay for suites for all the underprivileged kids. And I'm like, dang, that's a freaking, that's actually a really cool thing to say.
So
underrepresented companies too, or something, I think. Right. So send them your Hooligan Productions company card.
Hooligan Productions. Let's do it. Let's bring it back. Logan, can you think of, what do you think the last ownership change was in the NBA? I think I remember it, but I'm not sure.
The last ownership change, the Rockets sold recently, right? Within the last
five years. I was thinking Steve Ballmer for the Clippers.
I thought you were going to say
Kings.
That
was so long ago, though. That was I don't know. The Rockets were like a sneaky, quieter one. I think
that's true.
We're seeing the effects of that Rockets.
I guess the point I'm trying to make is that, like, let's look at like ownership changes. Obviously, the Clippers one, going from Sterling to Ballmer was huge. They went from, someone who turned out to be super just like old school and like just have a team that's
Your intro could work for him, an old white racist.
Right. And Donald Sterling like did things like just always and like. Steve Ballmer, when he took over, not only was he just a fresh face, he had fresh ideas, and like he just had a vigor to make the Clippers are a lot better than they were during the Sterling years, right? Just a lot better, and
even though they still have never made it out of the second round,
thank the silly little rabbit.
But there's hope for the Clippers. Like Clippers fans like have hope now, right?
Yeah, you mean fan? It's like Clipper Darryl and no one else.
Don't forget Billy Crystal.
Frankie Muniz. But like, I mean, come on, like, I mean,
oh, that's
like,
true. Frankie Muniz,
right? Like,
always played as the Clippers
are now. The Clippers are now, like, they're still a little brother, but you know, they were such a joke before. Right. Mark Cuban, when he took over the Mavericks, you know, the comp that, I mean, the Mavericks are well, like when Mark Cuban first took over, man, yeah, the Mavericks were. I mean, like, just the things he did. Like, I remember, like, them telling about, like the players' locker room was just getting super renovated to make players more comfortable. Dirk Nowitzki, a Hall of Famer, spent his whole career there. Like, how often does that happen with you know, Dirk Nowitzki?
In the modern NBA, never.
Yeah, right, exactly. So, like, he made it so players wanted to play in Dallas.
White players.
He went the Oregon Ducks route early on the NBA side, which is like get people with shiny, exciting things.
Right, exactly.
You're right. I remember when he first bought the team. They like signed Dennis Rodman as just like a publicity stunt, I think, to get some people in to come and watch him, and it was a train wreck. I mean, it was one of those things like, who's this guy and why is Dennis Rodman in the NBA again? But I don't know if Jamal Mashburn was on those teams or not. But that's a
yeah.
The Mavericks were a joke.
They had some really good teams
yeah.
in the early Cuban era. They had like Michael Finley and
yeah.
You know, I mean, Nash and Nowitzki.
So Ryan Smith here is inheriting a team that's not a joke. You know, they're inheriting a team that
championship who
there's guaranteed. There's a lot of Jazz fans out there who are very disappointed that the Jazz we talked about it. Like, the Jazz have not made a leap in the past 10 years. Like this Jazz team seems really good. This Jazz team has hope, but this Jazz team doesn't inspire championship. It doesn't have a championship aura, it feels like.
But now we have a championship owner.
Well, I mean, but there's an ownership change. Like, and, like, again, we're going from Gail Miller and this trust that felt like they were really hands-off. Now, this could obviously backfire. Like, maybe Ryan Smith, who has not owned a team before, and right, like, this is like something like maybe he comes in and his ideas don't work. But I feel like, you know, right now Jazz Nation just feels just really invigorated, thinking that okay, this is it. Like, I don't know what do you think an owner can do to like inspire these changes that the Clippers had, the Mavericks had, you know.
The Clippers were a train wreck, though,
right.
Like in the worst way historically, and that's and Ballmer was a special something. I don't know. Maybe. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess it depends on how much he wants to get involved with the process, which is yet to be seen. So, I mean, again, that's what we all do is define comps because we don't know. But what was Mark Cuban's comp before Mark Cuban? There wasn't one. So. I really don't know. I mean, I guess he can bring in a whole different philosophy, but I don't know. I mean, the Jazz are so complicated because we get so jaded by being Jazz fans. But I mean, for the hands they're dealt, you know, I don't necessarily dislike the Lindsay and the moves and things they've made. I mean, I think they've done. Yeah, they've missed on a couple things, but if I could rewind time, I would still roll the dice on them. I think they've done. Again, not perfect, but I like the Lindsay era better than the KOC era.
Oh yeah, definitely. And I guess the reason I bring it up is because, like, you know, like there are like maybe five owners you know about in the NBA, right? That you can like, oh, name them off. And one of those owners that you can name off is James Dolan, and that's the exact opposite end of the spectrum. So, like, if you have an owner that's like well known, it could be good, but it can also be very bad. And I'm not trying to be jaded. I'm not trying to be pessimistic. I actually do think that a change in ownership could be really good for the franchise. But I want to build in the expectation that maybe it could be okay. Maybe it's just not a huge move that we think. Maybe Ryan Smith is more hands off and it's more the same for the Jazz. I just want to build in that expectation too. That like, hey, we hope that we don't want to get to a James Dolan level, but maybe if he's just a quiet owner, you know, like if he's just a quiet owner and nothing really changes, that this is, you know, this excitement is just like, all right, it's cool, it's great, but it doesn't.
Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine it. I mean, it can't be the same. Nothing's the same. I mean, nothing's ever going to be exactly the same. Nothing in life ever is when you change ownership of something that large, right? So it's never going to be exactly the same. I guess that's the question that people have to ask themselves. I've seen a little bit of Twitter going back and forth on it. Was, you know, are you because now that you've changed what has been this relatively consistent presence of the Millers for 35 years, is, you know, we were never going to be really terrible with the exception of like the Tyrone Corbin era.
Right.
But we've always been consistently okay. And is that so? Yes, there's a potential that perhaps we could be great. There's also the potential that we could be a dog franchise, which we're also not used to. And so it's like, which one are you willing to do? And me having watched kind of the same thing on repeat for the last 20 years, I liken it to like the Mike Connolly trade. Yeah. Let's roll the dice. Why the hell not? Because right. I mean, we've already seen what this particular model does, right? So I don't know that he's going to wave his magic wand and make it all go away. But I mean, I'm for giving it a shot. I mean, this is it's okay by me.
I'm not even like saying it's like I'm just saying like everybody's super excited and they only see one like path this way is going. I'm like guys, I just want people to kind of say, all right, you know, this could go very well for the Jazz, and it could just be more of the same. It could just be. I just want to build that expectation that.
No, you just want to stomp on their dreams. Don't.
Well, let's talk about Derek Favors now.
Don't lie. You want to stomp on people's dreams? I know it.
And that's the other thing is that like Logan brought it up is that like think about it, the Jazz have been in you know, as to quote Woj, 35 years of Miller stewardship, right? That's as old as us. That's literally as old as I am. I think the Jazz are just incredibly lucky that they have been really they have been like even like okay, it's really good for as long as they've been. Like how many years in a row did they not make the playoffs and were just like, you know, was it 4 years? They had a 4-year drought of not making the playoffs.
Right.
4 or 5 year drought and a 2 year drought where like, okay, we're really bad. We want to tank and get a draft pick. A couple years where, all right, we're looking okay. We're not going to make the playoffs, but we're actually on the rise. You know, those Gordon Hayward years and Rudy Gobert years, early years. The Jazz were not a playoff team, but they looked like they were promising and they got there eventually.
Whereas you look at Sacramento, right. which has been a dog franchise forever. The Maloofs had a brief moment of glory, right, and then they've kind of returned to obscurity again. Defer to the Kings,
and they have a new owner, and that didn't change anything. They're still trash.
Maybe he's the Maloofs. Maybe that's the part we're missing. Would you trade the old Jazz for a Doug Christie, Chris Webber style? You know, run at it as long as the Lakers don't ref us out in the finals or something. Yeah. So those Kings teams were good, man. Like those were good teams.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah.
So we let them rise.
Yeah. I think Logan brings up a good point. Like, what if this like change happens and what if the Jazz become one of the top four teams in the NBA that has a chance, but then, you know, like, you know, after that you have a decade of just being awful. Like, what if they like get to the finals again and like lose just like game seven, just they're there, but somehow something happens, something crazy happens, and they're the Kings for 10 years.
Oh no.
Right. I mean, it's just something to think about. Like the thing is, as a Jazz fan, we have not had to think about that for 30 years. Like the Jazz had a 4 or 5 year period. And even then those 4 or 5 years, a couple of them, like, you're happy to lose because you want a good draft pick and you get Darren Williams. You're happy because, like, oh, yeah, we're losing. We're not a playoff team. But look at our young players. Look at our core four. Look at our core players. And like, look, you know, we got Alec Burks. We got these guys that are going to do really great for us. Enes
Kanter.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, the Giants have had at least, like, you don't want to be a franchise that has no hope. You don't, like the Knicks. When was the last time they had hope? I mean, they have hope every free agency, and it gets squashed every free agency. And by game 20, you know, game 22, they're the hope in the fans is gone. They're like, all right, maybe let's build for the draft next year. You know,
pretty
like,
much.
Like
not since Marcus Camby and Allen Houston and Was Grandma Charles Sprewell on those teams?
Larry Johnson was there for a little bit, yeah.
Patrick Ewing. His workout.
I don't know. Was Patrick Ewing. This is after Patrick. This is 2000s, right? That 2000s, or like late 90s.
Well, he said Allen Houston. So yeah. Allen Houston. Oh, he was a rookie that year.
Never mind. Marcus Camby. The 99. A little bit of crossover.
Yeah,
Their eighth seed run when they went to the finals. And
yeah, that was Patrick Ewing, though. So, yeah. The thing is that, like, the Jazz are going to be the Jazz. The Jazz have, they have a really good, I think they have a good, maybe not really good, they have a good front office. They have a good coaching staff. They have a good culture around them. And that stuff, but it does change, right? Like, it can change. Yeah. You just hope that this ownership change is good. Like I don't see any reason why Ryan Smith, from everything I've seen, you know, the guy played junior jazz, I guess. So did I. So you know, we're basically the same person.
His favorite soda is Diet Mountain Dew. And that was also Larry Miller's favorite drink, evidently.
Learned that from Twitter today. God, like it's Larry Miller reincarnated, man. So. So it's just some it's a fun day. Like, I mean, really, we're just kind of talking just to talk right now. We don't
he's
know
Larry anything. Miller with the skateboard, he skateboards, yeah.
But yeah. I do think it's interesting to talk about things in the future that could happen. I mean, I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer, which I am, I know. I'm very depressing. But
you are depressing.
I am depressing.
It would be. I mean, we all can agree, though. I don't think he has any sort of impact in this next set of free agents. I mean, this is all coming quick. I mean, maybe slight oversight, but I just don't see him being involved this offseason.
Yeah. He shows up in Dennis Lindsay's office and he's like, "All right, well, you're taking a backseat to me."
Yeah. Especially with the NBA, which is what, December 22nd is their target date now, correct?
I know. We moved that up like a month. We literally do a pod 2 months ago talking about, January, 2 weeks ago. Yeah, probably January.
I believe there was someone yet on a podcast, though, who may have said, don't sleep on Christmas yet. I don't know who that may have been, but.
This is why we had
Merry Christmas.
This is why we had Donald Trump supported Dragon Squatch to the
yeah, he bought us all MAGA gear. Woo! Hey, and we have some free gear for you. So if you give us a 5-star review, it'll say Dragon Squatch make the Jazz great again.
Make the Jazz great again. Maja.
Maja. Thanks for listening to this episode. Also, thanks to our Utah sponsors, the Off-Broadway Theater in downtown Salt Lake and the Great Room Escape in Layton, Utah. If you have a second, please leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and all other podcast platforms. It helps this podcast out, and we will enter all written 5-star reviews into a drawing for free tickets to either the Off-Broadway Theater or the Great Room Escape. Just write a 5-star review, and you'll be entered to win. It's a fun time. I did want to give you props for that, Logan, that you did call that, you know, hey, well, you and McCade, I'll say that. But we're like really saying, hey, Christmas, guys, Christmas is coming. Because that's such a big game for the NBA. So,
that's a big game too. But I think what I saw was if they waited that long, like the number, like the amount of revenue loss was like $500 million or something, right? Like if they really waited until March.
That's half a Jazz team.
Half a Jazz team for sure. No, it's a half a Jazz team.
Your math is bad. That's like a third.
Yeah, but they will. And I heard today too. Listen to the low post. That's one GM. At some point, they just got to get back on track too, because they push into March. They continue just to push the season.
Yeah,
back exactly. every year. And so,
hey guys, we converted Logan to listening to the low post.
The low post was on there before, and then I like deleted it because, like, you know, you log into your podcast, and like,
you have 70 unlistened episodes.
Yeah, I'm like, delete. So he's a funny little creature, though. I mean, to watch that guy argue with himself in circles is like really funny. He doesn't even need a co-host. Like, he had Bobby Marks on there, but he didn't even need Bobby Marks because he'd ask Bobby Marks a question, answer it himself, and then say, "You're right." And Bobby's like, "Yeah."
That was kind of true. Yeah, it was like that.
Zach Lowe was my
last week. I proposed a trade. The more I think about it, it was a really stupid one. Any feedback on that? Yeah. No, I said okay. Anyways, yeah.
I aspire to be Zach Lowe in a future life here. So
you do have, there. That, when I was listening,
it sounded like you said Zach Lowe.
Yeah, this is like you said that. I'm like, yeah, that sounds like me, all right.
Just go in circles.
Yeah.
He did have like three or four minutes of Rudy Gobert contract talk, and his conclusion was about the same as ours. He's like, I think the most likely thing is that they come to a contract they can all live with, and I'm like, okay, that sounds fine to me. I think Hu will be okay with that.
Just give him Rudy a less than max contract, and then give him one of the businesses that Ryan Smith owns or something. You know, yeah. Like, hey, by the way, right. here's a kickback for you. Have a tech company. Like,
here's a $250 million under the table. Like,
what is Qualtronics?
I don't know, man. I'm too lazy to look it up. I'll be honest. Like, he's rich.
It's analytics, data driven stuff.
It sounds so boring. But I'm sure it's changing the world. I'm sure it's like what's like driving my Facebook ads right now, I bet. So
I'm sure that's what those guys.
I think there are ads involved.
I'm sure it is. Like, I mean, the guy, it's $8 billion. I'm like, you don't pay $8 billion for something if you're not going to make $8 billion. Like I said, we had a lost episode, right? Last week we talked about, we saw last week that all the news was about Jazz trades. Let's quickly hit on like what we tried to talk about and recapture the magic we had last week. A lot of it was people trying to make
a software company. I forgot about that software company.
Yes. A lot of it was like Bill Simmons, was making a bunch of Bill Simmons type trades with Rudy Gobert, right? And that's working under the assumption that he thinks the Jazz aren't going to pay Rudy Gobert, or he's working on the assumption that Rudy Gobert Bill and the Simmons, Jazz.
He's a hack.
This is where Logan talks about special mode. Rudy Gobert, Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell he feels like the Jazz have to trade Rudy Gobert, and you know, I know I'm on the position that the Jazz don't have to trade Rudy Gobert. I think everything's fine. I know Logan, when we came back from the pandemic, he said that, you know, there's probably some more fire to the smoke than I'm giving it credit for. But
now you have Ryan Smith and he makes everything golden.
Golden showers.
Oh my gosh, those exact words I was going to use.
This is why Logan and I are friends.
First order of business, install golden showers.
Oh goodness gracious.
You said Cuban like locker room renovations, right?
Right, so. Exactly. Oh, that would be goodness. It. All right, so
hey, Logan, we just did one though.
Real quick, let's give you a position. Do you think the Jazz are in a position that it's better for them to keep Rudy Gobert or to trade Rudy Gobert?
There's nothing that's been. There's no trade I've seen that makes it worthwhile from my perspective.
Gerard,
especially as I believe there is some. I believe there is a little more substance to what. You guys talked about. We've all talked about. Is I don't think you. I think you can get Rudy without giving him the super max,
right,
or the max, or whatever he's eligible for. I think you can get him for less than that.
Yes.
So no, I wouldn't trade him.
Yeah, and Bobby Marks was like, oh, "Well, you can always you can do the super max, but actually work down and not spend the full 35%." And da 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 da.
Bobby Marks.
But I mean, like, Zach Lowe, without the contract thing, do you think the Jazz are better positioned if they go find a deal for Rudy Gobert or if they keep Rudy Gobert?
Keep. Because, like, I think most of the trades that we saw concern with Rudy involved were, like, the Jazz getting 50 cents on the dollar versus 75 cents on the dollar. So it's just...
And, like, you don't ever want to trade for even 75 cents. Like, because like the trade that we talked about that you liked the most was Caris LeVert, Jarrett Allen, and a pick.
It was one that would never happen, though, yeah.
Right, but even like if it were to happen, like it's another one that the Jazz are selling pretty low on Rudy Gobert. Like Jared Allen fills a hole. Like he's a nice player. Caris LeVert has shown flashes, but again, this guy is what probably a
and he's been injured a lot. So
And the thing about Caris LeVert is that, like, there's a chance that he becomes a superstar, or, like, not even a superstar, a chance that he becomes an all-star, something, right? But, like, you have a transformative player in Rudy Gobert. Caris LeVert is not that guy. Donovan Mitchell may not be that guy. But you have someone that, you know, Rudy Gobert is not a top 10 defense upon himself, as we found out, but he does help the Jazz get to that much easier than if you don't have him there, or if you have like Jarrett Allen and Ed Davis, I guess. So, so we talked about those trades. We talked about
that would be interesting if we moved Rudy and then didn't move Ed Davis, but then Ed Davis is playing. And it's like, well, was it Rudy's fault that Ed didn't fit before?
Maybe. if the Jazz moved Rudy Gobert, it would be like, all right, tear it down, start over, do something else. You know, however they played before, you can't play that same way because you're missing basically the guy the defense was built for. You know, right. You can't just throw Jarrett Allen in there and expect the same results. You basically have to go and figure out how to use the skills of who you have with you. There was a few Mike Conley trades that we thought were kind of interesting. The Mike Conley to the Pistons, right? Was that it? Conley to the Pistons for Blake Griffin?
Yeah,
Conley to the
Pistons, yeah.
Yeah, that was basically the main deal. That the Jazz would get some point guard back. They would get Blake Griffin. And this one sort of intrigued the Squatch here. Logan, he liked Blake Griffin.
Yeah, I mean, I just the way I saw it is you've got two dudes who are probably overpaid that are risky takes, and it just felt like Griffin would be if you're rolling the dice and you're hoping that both trying to be healthy and fit, Blake Griffin adds an even more I think
dynamic
than what Conley does as healthy, but still not sold on it. But yeah, it was of all the ones. Yeah, just we'd have to Blake for one more year, which is the only kind of crappy part of that.
But also could be like,
again, no guarantee he plays either, but right. I'm just saying, all things considered, if you look at the risk associated with both, and if they both play to what, or at least what we think they're, what they could be capable of being completely healthy, Blake in that Jazz lineup seems pretty terrifying.
Pick and roll partner. He can shoot threes now. Again, a guy that was a former All-Star a couple years ago, so that was pretty interesting.
It feels like a lifetime ago. It feels like everyone was all over that, and I guess that's the world of social media. It felt like everyone was all over that. It almost seems like now if you reference that trade, you're like a joke and you're like wearing jorts to the barbecue and everyone's making fun of you.
John Cena wore jorts.
Yeah.
Right. You're like exactly.
John Cena right now.
It's so weird that like we talked about that last week on that last episode, and like it's just so outdated now. Like it was like the hot topic for 48 hours.
Yeah.
And we've all moved on.
And now it's like the Jazz have been sold.
But that's
those idiots who want to trade for Blake Griffin. Oh my gosh, what a bunch of dorks, man.
Bleacher Report.
We've got Harrison Barnes now for Bohan. Yeah. I see it all, man. There's very little I don't see. Just because I don't comment and get involved, I see it all.
Right, right. And
he Googles Harrison Barnes for Bohan. And
yeah.
It is funny because
every time he says Bohan, though, makes me think of like Gohan.
I'm like, I like it, you. It kind of makes sense that like the World Series, the NBA Finals, all these like ratings have been down, right? But a lot of it is that like, we have so much going on right now, right? Like there's an election coming on. There's a lot of like issues in the world that people are way more woke to right now. Right, there's a lot of stuff going on right now that, like, yeah, this stuff's gonna go quickly, folks. Like, and if you're like, people were just really bent out of shape through some of these things that were being thrown out, 72 hours ago, and people are really excited about this Ryan Smith news, and when is that gonna fade away, And
like it's gonna fade away quickly.
Yeah, and until something big happens, until something else happens, and
I mean, we have an election coming up, so I'm pretty sure that it's going to fade away pretty quickly.
Yeah, and maybe it should, right? And maybe that news should. Right now, it's just weird to be a sports fan. It is a little weird for us to do this stupid little show that we do and talk about things that will not be talked about again in a week and nobody's going to care. But I like it. I hope you guys like it. And hope,
you're taking a whole new level of that doom and gloom. Like, don't enjoy anything. don't do anything that brings you joy, because Emperor Trump will reign again November 4th.
Well, you know,
will be ruined. He's driving in the tanks with his Proud Boys. And
I told a couple coworkers today, because we were just talking about stuff, and I told them, and this is not a secret, and I don't want anybody to think the secret. I have clinical depression, right? And so. Mm-hmm. I told them, I'm like, oh yeah, I suffer from, because like we were talking about other stuff, and I was like, oh, I have depression, and they're like, you do? I'm like, yeah, I do, and like they, I guess they don't believe me. I'm like, well, whether you believe me or not,
like it's there. Right?
Yeah, exactly. And
I don't understand why they didn't believe you. That's kind of weird.
Because I'm a very high functioning individual at work, I guess. So, I guess the fact.
That's what I don't understand, though. People, I mean, we'll just take a quick aside to address that. I mean, people can be depressed and still be high-functioning members of society, right? Well,
you know, that's what we got to teach people, is that, you know, people, and again, the mental health issues aside. I guess I bring that up because, yeah, like, it's, seriously, sometimes I go doom and gloom and I don't even mean it. I'm like, oh, God, yeah. did we talk about this before, or was this on the last episode where... Kirk McKee was was super depressing, or like he said, I was.
It was the first time he talked about the mid-level exception, I believe.
That might have been.
I wasn't sure if that was Kirk that said that, or if you were saying that Ken Clayton was saying that.
Yeah, I know.
I think he was just saying mid-level exception talk depresses people, not specifically you. Who?
Okay.
Yeah, and that is what we went over. I think that was on the Conley episode. But yeah, and we were both just like, who? He's not talking about you.
I'm owning it. So now that's my thing on this podcast is I'm going to be just like, like the old SNL skit.
You were really good at doing Facebook Who. I don't know if Logan remembers Facebook Who.
I'm doing podcast Debbie Downer, you know, like the old SNL skit. Womp womp.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. Oh, whoops. We are now like less than 2 months away from the NBA starting again now. Like it just keeps us like sneaking up on us. The draft is in like 2 weeks, free agency.
Well, they moved it to December. So it actually absolutely did sneak up on us. Cause they're like January, December,
March.
Yeah. Like, hey, by the way, tomorrow the NBA starting again. Like, oh, okay, cool. Like, let's bring it back.
That would be insane. That'd be absolutely wild.
I want to
You guys did hear the news that like LeBron and a few other people are saying they're going to boycott if they start in December, right?
Good for LeBron. I think LeBron should take a month off. I think LeBron should.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I was thinking back.
He should take a whole season off. That's how I feel.
The only people that hurts is the guys that made the deep playoff run. So yeah, let's run it back right now. Let's do it tomorrow. Yeah.
Like for like LeBron, somebody at his age, like I do get that maybe he wants more of a rest and. I think it's his prerogative to take some time off. And I think I'm not trying to troll Laker fans. I think LeBron is good enough. I think the Lakers will be good enough to stay in the playoff hunt without LeBron.
And well, I was going to say, like, who do you think you're trolling? I don't think a lot of Lakers fans listen to this podcast except for maybe AJ.
Yeah. So it's not a troll. I honestly believe that if LeBron James, if the season starts and LeBron James doesn't want to play, then he should. I know it sucks for the NBA as a whole, but. You know, take some more time off. Like
the one thing the NBA seemed to have gotten right better than anybody else in this whole process is it seems to be that between the two sides, and again, I'm not in the room, but between the commissioner and the Players Association, they've understood the value of what this means long term. They've seen the bigger vision. I mean, baseball only played 60 games, and that means they lost all that money. Right? The players lost the money. They all lost a whole bunch of money because they were fighting over, you know, pennies at that point, pennies relatively to what we're talking about, but it seems that the NBA and the association seems to understand and get that. I don't think they'd float a date out like that. They'd have some sort of at least preliminary belief that, you know, the union was going to agree to that, right? That's a pretty hefty thing. And if that much money is sitting on the table, that's the cost it's going to have. I think that, you know, they all seem to see that. And again, LeBron's also the guy who said he wouldn't play in front of no fans.
Right.
So time changes a lot of stuff. I get it. I mean, I would, if I'm him and I'm just finished that run and then all of a sudden now you're telling me the season starts.
He's also
the
guy that wants to have a parade to get all of Los Angeles. Yeah.
And I'm totally fine with that. You know,
yeah, I'm not going to tell me what fan base doesn't want a parade.
Natural selection, Jared, natural selection. Just let them, He and Justin Turner can get out there together and just march.
Yeah.
All right.
Justin Turner right next to each other. And
like, so Jared, like, barely got on this call, like, 1 minute before we started the podcast. Logan, here's my introduction if Jared was not going to make it. Hi, folks. Welcome to Hitting the High Notes. I Hu Tran. I'm here with Logan Cox. Jared Barker actually got a positive COVID test. Halfway through this podcast, so he cannot be on the rest of it.
He'll be here to celebrate in the comedy. Yeah, exactly. From the end. He'll be kissing all of us, and it'll be.
He'll be here at the end credits to talk with everybody.
Yeah, that to me was the most.
Who was our Dave Roberts?
Strangest part that they brought him back out to the team. They're like, come on out, celebrate with us, take a picture.
What's fascinating about that is the story changed. Like, Ken Rosenthal shot out a tweet, which Rosenthal is solid from a baseball standard, about what happened. And then all of a sudden the story magically changed. And it was just, from what we're hearing, Turner refused to be held back and just got out there and celebrated with all of them, right? Like, okay, he is a grown man, I suppose. You're not going to tase him. I hate Justin.
Wait, Turner, is that what Rosenthal said?
No, Rosenthal essentially said they knew the test was bad yesterday or the day before, and they ran it again, and they still let him play. He refused not to play, and all these different things. And so maybe there was some facts that were crossed up,
and
disappeared.
Yeah, that one hasn't been out there anymore, so maybe he had some of the preliminary facts incorrect. I don't know, but I would have loved to see Justin Turner get tased on his way out. I mean, that would have made
that would have made
my life. What is your guys' take on that? Because obviously, as Jazz fans and Jazz Twitter, they're super super defensive of our most precious of Rudy's, and right. just they, it's almost like they're more affected by Rudy's heat than I think Rudy is.
Right? I think so too, man.
You know what I mean? Like, I haven't seen Rudy even reference it. So they're like, I can't believe Justin Turner is not getting heat from what you guys saw. I saw Justin Turner getting a fair amount of heat. So it wasn't as though, I mean, I don't know what you guys saw on your stuff, but it wasn't as though he was getting off scot-free and they were justifying it.
The problem is that Rudy was, when you're the first, it's the first. Like, I know, it's so stupid. And Justin Turner, like, it's one of the things that, like, we've seen it happen not just with Justin Turner. We've seen it with the Karens that don't wear the mask, right? We've seen the protests and everything. We've seen this happen over and over and over again during the past 6 months, that him doing it goes, all right, cool. So, all right, we understand where you stand on this side of history. And it's just now accepted behavior.
Justin Turner is very much the Karen of baseball, so I do love that. But you guys are getting far more baseball knowledge than you know. But also, from what I heard, Justin Turner was the guy keeping his whole team in line all season. And these are our rules. These are our protocols. He was busting. He was cracking the whip for everybody. And then as soon as it changes,
he's like, right? I don't care.
Yeah, but I guess what I was getting at was everyone seemed to act like, oh my gosh, Rudy got so much terrible. And why not? From what I saw, Justin Turner was getting rained on pretty heavily, too. It wasn't as though he was getting off, you know, oh, it's okay, you won a title.
Because the world changed.
The victim complex is fascinating. Yeah. It's just,
the world has changed from October 27th from March.
Jazz
whatever
fans.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Guys, it's, again, you know, big day. Like, I know I was joking around with you guys. I said something, I was like, oh, boy, slow season, huh? Nothing to talk about. And then, yeah, we get some big news. Yeah, again, this stuff won't matter next week. We'll have something new Jazz related to talk about. Like, we'll make something up. We keep finding new ways to make up Jazz content here. Jared, just give me, what you think is going to happen. Again, Ryan Smith is probably not going to make any huge deals this offseason, but, do you feel more optimistic than you did a week ago?
Well, Ryan Smith is going to push the model of basketball so that we can spend more money. Because we're the Jazz. I don't know.
He played junior Jazz, so he's got to know basketball a little bit, right? Like,
he's gonna farm junior Jazz players to the big leagues, and then
Logan.
He's gonna sign himself to a contract.
This is like this is a movie, right? This is like every fan's dream to, like, number one, you get a billion some odd dollars, and then you're like, oh yeah, I'm gonna buy my childhood team. Like, what do you think that feels like? Just like to have a fan of your team to buy your team.
I've got no clue. Yeah. I have no idea.
Like Mark Cuban wasn't a Mavericks fan, right? Mark Cuban just saw the team for sale and bought it. I don't know about Steve Ballmer or not, but like these guys are just
anything about Cubes personally in terms of if he was
like, that part definitely is rare though. I mean, you're right. I don't know that buying your childhood team is ever happens.
That's I assume it's a childhood team. I have no idea if it is. I know he grew up in Utah. I assume he's a Jazz fan. I have no idea if he is.
I hear he's been a big Jazz guy. I don't know.
So. Again,
I mean, if you play junior jazz because you're a Lakers fan, that'd be weird.
No, I mean, you play junior jazz because that's what you have to play rec basketball in the state, right? So, I mean, he's probably a Jazz fan. I'm just it's more fun for the narrative if he is, you know. So,
yeah, no, with zero fact checking because I believe fact checking is a crime.
does sound like somebody who just bought MAGA gear.
Yeah. The best part is people hopefully listen to this episode and are completely convinced that I'm a MAGA supporter. Because people don't get sarcasm at all anymore. I saw some exchange today, and you guys know these Twitter dudes, or one of the guys anyways. I'm not going to bring his name up because it's not even worth mentioning. But I watched. This guy was clearly being like a smartass, and like. The dude took it so personal and so serious when he's quoting his 4-year-old is giving this long speech. Like, you guys are so ridiculous. Like, give me a break. Like, it's crazy. But I do have one little dip into the nugget pouch, which is always happening to the Antonio McDice base. Little known fact about new owner of the Jazz, Ryan Smith. He actually did play junior jazz with Antonio McDice. In the 1996 season, teammates. Yep, that's all I've got. Because again, facts are illegal.
That's the nugget patch, folks. Oh my goodness gracious!
Facts are illegal. I like that.
Yeah. So again, let's see what the Jazz do. We'll talk some off-season stuff. I've got some interesting names or interesting ideas. I guess not even names, just like ideas. What can happen?
They're not even actual people. They're just ideas. Like,
what if? The Jazz get a 1997 Stone Cold Steve Austin, and
I like this.
That's the height of his career.
That's revolutionary Stone Cold.
Yeah, that's Attitude Era. All right, Jared, where can they find you on the Twitterverse?
You can find me at Go the Distance 49. my screen name is Hootran Ladies Man.
Yeah. So. Good luck with that.
You couple of dill holes make it so confusing when I'm trying to figure out who I'm talking to.
Yeah, it is. I like this. I go, damn it, that's on me.
Well, it was on you. You changed your name first.
Yeah, so confusing when it pops up on your screen as a notification. Like when I get in there, I can see your guys' faces. I can see who like flexing before he's going. You know, before he goes ice blocking with his posse,
and you can see mine with the Shanahan laser. With the laser eyes.
Dude, ice blocking is so fun, right?
What did you say? Is that the F word?
Ice blocking is so fun.
Ice blocking madness. Look it up.
On YouTube, 100,000 views. Dragon Squatch on the Twitter there. Thanks, Logan, for joining us tonight and hanging out in Zona or Vegas or wherever you are, whatever rally you're at.
I'm just about to hop on the Trump train. I'm going to get in the back of this 1987, some guy in a 1987 Chevy Suburban with only four windows is willing to take me to the next rally to pedal tank Chevy house and these thin blue line flags.
Oh, God.
I'm an entrepreneur just like Ryan Smith, guys.
There you go. Like, he just needs a couple million dollars more. Folks, hey, you know what? If the Jazz high notes had a $1.6 billion, I'd buy it too. So, you can follow us at Jazz High Notes on Twitter, at Jazz High Notes on the Instagram, and I think at Jazz High Notes on Facebook too. Jared is producing content for that places that is not OnlyFans related. So,
you guys have a MySpace?
we're coding it right now.
You can run the MySpace.
Yeah, we'll MySpace. All right, can I be in your top eight?
Debatable.
Okay. folks, thanks for joining us.
You and Tom, right?
Yeah, exactly. Get a five for the fight. Five for the fight patch. With the High Notes logo, and we'll see you guys next time. Greg Miller sucks.
Yes, that was a great way to end the pod.
I can do whatever. I'm sober for this one, so it's perfectly fine. send me you guys' address so I get your MAGA gear on the way. Extra mediums for both of you.
We're gonna have post credits for this one for sure.